Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I'd like to bring to you some thoughts around Matthew chapter 24, verses 35 through 51. And I would like to say to you that I would title this, "It's All Coming to the End of the Journey." God had a plan, and his plan was that man should learn about God's love. So he created, I believe, the heavens and the earth, and God created all the animals and all the birds and all the fish, and he created this world. In the end of the week, he said, "Let's make man in our own image," and man was made in the image of God. Notice, too, when we get to this stage in the creation story, man was very happy and he was communing with God in the Garden of Eden on a regular basis. And morning and evening there was a mist that came in and it dampened the earth and it dampened all the plants, and the plants grew and so on, and there was great harmony in this creation that we call the world. Then God said man is lonely, so he gave to man woman. The woman came into the life of a man. She then was tempted by Satan. Unfortunately, from the moment they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the moment they did that, they encountered what God had said, "If you eat of that tree in disobedience, thou shalt surely die." They had no concept of death. They only knew that at the very beginning there was life. And so it wasn't something that they understood, but they knew it would happen if they ate and disobeyed God. But Satan's temptation was very subtle. He sort of purred and said, "Did God really say that he would kill you?" "Of course not. God is different to that. You by this time know that he loves you, and so God won't really do that. It's just to threaten you." And he pretended. Adam and Eve bought into this pretense. They let deception overwhelm their reason. They became foolish and sinned in that they were disobedient. The story goes on. God reveals himself to the people of Israel, because they were his chosen people, and he reveals himself to those people over and over again in different ways, and through the centuries he reveals to them love. We come to the point where God says, "I will show them unconditional love. They're an ugly people. They turn away from me, they sin toward me, they ignore me, they don't love me, they won't come to me, but I will come to them and I will love them." So then we come to the place where the Lord Jesus enters the plan. And in that plan, Jesus comes into the world, teaches for 3 years, he suffers for our sin, he is crucified for our sin, he dies for our sin, he is buried in a grave for 3 days, and then he returns triumphant over death. Death could not hold him. And he comes back from the dead, and he says, "Lo, I am with you always." And then we find the Lord Jesus showing men and women the way to go from now. Well, from that point, when the Holy Spirit had been given to man, from that point we find that God is expressing his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we are to remember the Lord's death until we see him face to face. Then there is this period of time where James records God is love. We have ignored that. We have played with that. We have accepted it and rejected it over the years in various ways, just as Israel played the religious fool with God, so we have played the religious fool as Christians with God. It's a great shame, from the perspective I'm speaking now, that man has been so dolt-headed. He's so full of his own importance we've come to a place where Jesus is bringing all of this to an end. God, through the Lord Jesus, is sort of pulling in now all the end time. We call it the end times because it's the time of the end of what we call the church time. Historically, we are coming to its end. So we find ourselves in this piece of scripture looking at something that is very powerful, for the Lord Jesus is coming soon, and Jesus is speaking, and he says, I want you to understand, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, now, this is a tremendous statement that the Lord Jesus Christ has made, and we find that for years people have been announcing that soon the return of the Lord Jesus is upon us. Recently, I was reading a sermon from the 1760s, and this was the major emphasis. However, today we have more to consider in our generation than in any past generation. Look at verse 36. And of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. How many people are going around saying the Messiah is soon here? It is wrong for us to think that our president is the Messiah. And it is blasphemous, I think, that we so call him. I don't know why the news media wants to do this, but he is not the Christ that shall come. He is not the Messiah, the Savior of this world, and he certainly cannot save us economically. And if he can't do that which is obvious and simple, then he most certainly can't do anything with our souls. So we have to look at this very carefully, because we have to understand that we do not know the hour, we do not know the day, but there are signs, and the signs point very clearly to what is going to happen. In this 36th verse, it definitely tells us that we will not know the day or the hour when this is to happen. In verse 37, there's an indication that the condition of things on earth immediately prior to his return will be similar to the day of Noah. And I would say to you, look at this, because as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Let's explain that. Let's look at it for a moment or two, because it's important. There's a tremendous similarity in our culture today. Look at all the advertisements we watch on television. There's some gooey substance that would be of great health benefit to us if we would eat it or drink it. We're encouraged to go to the restaurants and to eat and to drink. We are encouraged in our own homes to have feasts abundantly. And we're constantly eating and drinking. And then there's this other business of marrying. Marrying is nothing wrong with that. But giving in marriage is a different expression. The giving in marriage, that is, a fellow and a girl give their bodies to one another and they are not married. And we think we're clever in the day in which we live, that we do this and we can do this. And we feel quite safe in doing it. But as in the days of Noah, you go back in your history book and have a good look at this. God was so sick of the sin of man and the immorality of man. Jesus says, as in those days when God was sick of the sinfulness of man, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus. Now, let's have a look at this carefully and understand what I'm saying to you. The immorality that we read, watch, and breathe on television and in the magazines that we read and so on, we're finding that immorality is absolutely everywhere. Our young people, dear as they are to us, somehow have no constraints on their physical morality of their bodies. The girls are giving themselves to the fellas, and the fellas are giving themselves to the girls. We forget there is a consequence to this because it lacks responsibility, it lacks holiness, it lacks what God wants us to be having. God wants for us the very best. Young men and women simply can't allow, it seems, the Lord God Almighty to do the choosing of their mate. They have to go out and give their bodies to one another. As one person put it to me, how do our young people know what they like until they've played the field? Well, that's a very dangerous expression, and it's a very dangerous thing to do. This business in the days of Noah needs to be looked at. And this surely makes us relook at the moral and the social and the spiritual conditions relevant in the world. Just now, we have to consider the time is short. There's such an abundance of these dreadful things that are going on, but the time is short. These words of the Lord Jesus, I believe, emphasize very swiftly and easily three enormous facts. For instance, let's go into the absolute certainty of the personal return of the Lord Jesus. Let's look at this. He is going to return. The Messiah is to return. And that's why anybody that we are calling Messiah is wrong, because he has not died and come back from the dead, and he is not in heaven waiting to come back down to receive his church. And Jesus is coming to receive his church. It's called the second coming. Now, we use these expressions in the media today very loosely, so they've lost their meaning. But I want to share with you, the meaning is powerful and it's sharp, and we need to give attention to it. The time is coming. It's coming and it's certain in its factuality. It's absolutely certain. Let's look at these verses 35 and 6 of the 24th chapter here, because it's revealed for us. We just have to read it. And it says here, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words which shall not pass away, but of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. It's a fact that only God knows when this is going to happen. And you can't call a person living in this world today as a person who understands. The Messiah is not here. When Jesus descends from the clouds and comes into this world, it will not be as a babe in Bethlehem. It will not be as someone who just sort of saunters in and is elected to an office. The Lord Jesus will come with all his saints and with all his angels. The sky will be lit up with his presence. Every eye on this globe will see Jesus coming from heaven in the clouds, and he shall descend, and the trumpet is going to sound, and a shout is going to go all through the heavens. Now, we can't manufacture that with our electronic wizardry. We have to understand Jesus is coming. Let's look for a moment at verse 26 of this same chapter. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as lightning cometh from the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, here's a thing to understand. It's not a thing that is going to escape our mentality or our comprehensive abilities. This is for us to understand. There is no wishful thinking here. Let's go to verse 42, which tells us this. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. You don't know this. There is no Messiah that is coming on earth that isn't glorious. And we do not find glorious things happening in the political realm of our country or any other country. I would remind you of the history of the 1930s, where people said in Europe and in Germany in particular that Hitler was the Messiah. Well, he was, in the sense that he caused people to be able to work and the military machine got grinding away, but it ended up in terrifying horror, as will be anything that man makes, because power corrupts man, and we can't afford to have the power of corruption leading us, and we call it messianic. We can't do that. We have to be thoughtful. You see, there is no wishful thinking on our part when we announce he will surely come again. Let me take you on a short excursion of some scriptures here, seeing as we do have the time to do justice this day. But let me take you into the Gospel of John and chapter 14, well known to those of you that read the scriptures often. Verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I don't see this in the Hitlers of this world. I don't see this in the leadership of this world. I don't see this at all. Jesus wants his church to be gathered around him, and he wants to be in the midst of his church so that they will enjoy the fellowship. It's a mystery that Jesus is able to cause us to be all changed. You remember there was a discussion between the scribes and Pharisees with Jesus. And I think I mentioned this in a previous program recently. And they said to Jesus, after a woman has married the seventh brother and there's never been a child born, whose wife will she be in heaven? And Jesus looked them in the eye and he said, you don't know anything about heaven. You don't know what you're talking about. In heaven, there is neither male nor female. Now, lest you jump to the conclusion of homosexuality, and I instruct you to be very careful not to do so, but unless you do, let me quickly say to you, Jesus has taught the children of God, and the Bible teaches that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the bride of Christ. That is, every born-again believer, male or female, becomes the bride of the Lord Jesus. And I have to say to you, surely this is a great mystery. But I'm not dealing with that particular phase of the coming of Jesus, but I would take you to Acts 1. Let's look at Acts 1 and verse 9. When Jesus had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These were angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. You will see Jesus come. You will see him come. And you will see him descend from heaven onto this earth. Now, the Bible is sure and square and tells us many things that we need to know. We don't have to be fluffing around and pretending we don't know, because we do know these things. We have been told these things. Christ is all sufficient for all our sin. He's dealt with it completely. So we are free in Christ. I would take you now and ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, and you will find instruction about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at these. We discover, and I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, they are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now there's great hope. We're all going to be raised from the dead, all of us. And he goes on and says, and this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, which are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In other words, no matter what death comes to us, it cannot separate us from the love of God, and it cannot take us away or out of the presence of God. And very quickly as we close, let's go to Revelation and chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. What a tremendous statement that is. We could preach sermons galore just on that one verse, and I hope some people have. I know I have at different times. But happily, we discover the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 3. Blessed, spiritually prosperous is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I leave this scripture with you so that you can think on these things. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Let it not be a long drawn-out period of time before we see you face to face, before we shout with all the saints saved by grace. Come quickly, Lord, that we may see the glory of your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless us now, hold us now, keep us in your peace, and grant to us the deliverance from evil. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Goodbye. God bless.